This is Dr. Chad Edwards, and you are listening to podcast number 37 of Against the Grain. Are you tired and fatigued? Are you frustrated with doctors because they just don't seem to listen? Do you want to fix your pain without surgery? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then we are the clinic for you. We offer prolotherapy, PRP or platelet-rich plasma therapy, and stem cell injections, IV nutritional therapies, bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, and functional medicine to get you back on track to optimal health. Call our clinic at 918-935-3636 or visit our website at www.revolutionhealth.org to schedule your appointment today.
Welcome to Against the Grain Podcast with Dr. Chad Edwards, where he challenges the status quo when it comes to medicine. We get into hot topics in the medical field with real stories from real patients to help you on your way to a healthy lifestyle. Get ready, because we're about to go against the grain.
Hello, hello. This is the super tall Marshall Morris, and I am joined today by Dr. Chad Edwards, who believes that 80% of medical recommendations are crap.
What?
Technically speaking here. He is the author of Revolutionize Your Health with Customized Supplements. He is a board-certified family physician. He served the U.S. Army for 23 years. And he is the founder of RevolutionHealth.org and the Against the Grain podcast. Dr. Edwards, what is up?
It's a good day.
It is a good day. And I just got to see the hot topic here for today, and I'm pretty excited about it. I don't know anything about it, so you're going to have to educate me on it. But
that's what I'm here to do. Yeah.
So
I'm pretty excited too. Yeah.
So what are we getting into? What is the hot topic?
You know, we talk a lot about hormones. We've talked about testosterone replacement. Last time we talked about testosterone and prostate cancer. And so we talk about all this talk about hormones and all that kind of stuff. And for a long time, today, short story, we're going to talk about hormone replacement using bioidentical hormone pellets.
Okay.
So it's a different form. It's a different way to give patients hormones so that their levels are optimal. And why is this beneficial? Why would it not be a good idea? Why is it a good idea? You know, those kinds of things. So I'm excited about it. I think a lot of people would really benefit from using pellets. One of my big cautions is going to be careful where you get them, because there's a lot of crap out there for how it's being done, the quality of the pellets, all that. We're going to talk about that.
Okay, so we're getting into it. And why is this a hot topic? Why is this a controversial issue and against the grain issue for everyone?
Well, the first thing is because we're using bioidentical hormones. And if you talk to some of my colleagues, in fact, I got to tell you a story.
Okay.
So one of my nurses I had in my clinic was at her OB's office, OBGYN, was at her office dropping something off or something. And she looked down and saw a prescription to the compounding pharmacy that we were using. And it was a bioidentical hormone cream. And she asked the nurse that was standing there, she was like, "So I didn't know Dr. Smith, you know, Dr. Snuffy, you know, did bioidentical hormones, and you know, what's the deal with that?" And the nurse kind of rolled her eyes and she was like, "Oh, the patient was insisting on this. And, you know, but you know, Dr. Snuffy feels like it's a scam." It was a scam. And so using the same kinds of hormones that are in your body naturally is a scam, yet it's okay if I give you horse piss. Because I don't know if we talked about this before, but have we talked about Premarin?
Yeah, we talked about it in one of the previous episodes.
Okay. So for those of you that haven't listened to that previous episode, Premarin stands for pregnant mare's urine, and it is derived from the urine of pregnant horses. It was the first time that that estrogen was commercially available in a cost-effective manner, because they could actually pull them out. The problem is, I treat human beings, and conjugated equine estrogens are very good for horses, not so good for humans. So the structure of those hormones are different in women and men than they are in horses. So why would we give you a horse estrogen? It's very important to understand. I won't go down this rabbit trail too deep, but there are three estrogens in the human body. There's estrone, estradiol, and estriol. Estradiol is the dominant estrogen during menstruating years. It's the one secreted by the ovaries, and it's the dominant hormone. After menopause, estrone becomes the dominant hormone. Now, part of the problem is with estradiol, you have a balancing of the effects of the estrogen. There's two different estrogen receptors. One's an alpha, one's a beta. Those receptors, the alphas cause growth, the betas cause or a degradation in growth, you know, kind of a thing. Well, the estradiol binds to each of them like 50-50. And so there's a null effect. You know, one effect kind of offsets the other as far as risk. Estrone, however, binds to the alpha receptor with high affinity and 80% to the alpha receptor, 20% to the beta. So you don't have the offset of the risk. I would argue that estrone is the real problem. The dominant estrogen in conjugated equine estrogens, estrone. So when we look at the risk that we see with hormones, period, the studies that have been done have almost exclusively been done on Premarin, which was commercially available for years and years and years. Women's Health study back released in 2002 stopped early because of the risk of cardiovascular disease, strokes, and there was some concern about breast cancer. I don't remember if that was in the study or not, but it was stopped because of the risk of stroke. But the other piece of that was using medroxyprogesterone acetate, which is a progestin. So you've got estrogens and you have progesterones. Those are normal. Progestins are abnormal. They're not natural human hormones. And we'll have more podcasts. I know we've had some, but we'll talk more about progestins in the future. But there's estrogen and there's estrogen. The one we want are bioidentical hormones. So the reason this is a hot topic is because we're using bioidentical hormones and many of my colleagues are not. So that would be reason number one. Reason number two, that took me a long time to answer that
one. Wow, that was...
Apparently I had a lot to say.
Yeah, you're passionate about it.
Well, again, when you look at this, is why on earth would we think that it's a scam to give you something that's normally naturally in your body, but by golly, we're going to give you that horse piss. Have you lost your mind? What is wrong with these doctors that are doing this and thinking that this is the way to go and that's a scam? Shame on you. And that's what I think about that.
What is the second reason that this is a hot topic?
So we're using pellets to use this. And, you know, for years, what I've done is creams. Recently, I've jumped over into the pellets. And so the reason that this is a hot topic, and we'll lead off with this, is why I was against pellets for a long time. You know, obviously, I'm a fan of bioidentical hormones in appropriate patients, but using pellets, I had in my practice, I've got patients that are coming to see me, and what I was seeing from a lot of these patients that were getting pellets somewhere else were just nightmare stories. And I was sitting here thinking, you know, their hormone levels are off the charts and they're all over the place. They feel awful. It took months to get their hormones regulated. And I was like, my gosh, these pellets are awful. But the problem is that it wasn't the pellet. The pellets have been around for a long time. In fact, the first hormone pellets were discovered, if you will, in 1939. So they've been around for a long time, and you know, they've sort of kind of, you know, increased in popularity, so to speak, recently. But the patients that were coming in having had hormone pellets were they were messed up, and so I was thinking these pellets are, that's a bad idea. And the problem is that it wasn't the pellet that was bad. It was the way it was done. The dosing wasn't right and the quality of the pellets was crap. So the first component, so I would argue that that's the other reason why this is kind of a hot topic. Am I okay to dive down the next piece?
Dive down the next piece. And then I'm going to have you, explain for the listeners what the pellet actually is, it physically is.
Yeah, great point. So basically there's two ingredients. It's pretty simple. You have the hormone and then you have a filler or a binder, I should say, called stearic acid. Now this is in what the pellets that I use. The pellets that we use, I would argue, are the highest quality. They are made by a compounding pharmacy, but the compounding pharmacy falls under a 503B, which is kind of a manufacturer. In the compounding world. So they are held to a very, very high FDA standard. This is not, you know, the compounding pharmacy on the corner. You know, there was some big issues with compounding from NECC, New England Compounding Center in the Northeast, where they were making steroids compounded and then sending them out all over the place. And some of these patients got fungal infections and some of them died. So it was, you know, big media stuff. And when they went in and inspected their facility, there was fungus and they probably had mold growing all over the place. And I mean, they may have been, you know, growing all kinds of crazy stuff, you know, as side sure. experiments or something, who knows. But it really gave compounding pharmacies a bad name. And the issue is getting good quality compounding. The pharmacy that we use for the manufacture of our pellets is a 503B held to a very high standard by the FDA. And they have a very good, number one, quality controls, but number two, they actually test their pellets consistently to make sure that they give us the highest quality.
Well, how big is a pellet?
Depends on how much hormone is in it. So you're looking at, I don't know, that big?
Okay. So the size
that's like helpful for the listeners,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So like the size of a dime?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not a circular thing. It's like a pencil lead, but a little bit bigger in diameter.
Okay.
So it's probably about a centimeter long. So, you know, a little under a half an inch.
Okay.
For male testosterone pellets. You know, the diameter is probably, you know, 10 millimeters or so.
Okay.
No. I'm sorry. Not that big. That'd be a centimeter. A couple of millimeters.
Pencil lead.
So it's a little bit thicker than a pencil lead.
Okay.
But they're not big. And you know, you make a little incision in the skin and in the buttocks.
Okay.
And you put the little trochee in, or the trochee, the trocar in there, and put the pellets in there and bam. Cram them in there, and there you go.
Okay.
We use a numbing medicine for it. It's a really simple procedure. Very easy, very well tolerated.
So what's this next part of, hormone? Is it hormone replacement or supplement using pellets? What's the next piece to this?
Yeah. So, the first piece is the quality of the pellet itself. The second thing I would argue is the dosing, making sure that they're dosed right. You know, going back to the quality piece, when I had patients that were coming in, we had doctors that were giving these pellets, but they would get one that was a branded pellet. It was, you know, high quality manufacturer and all those kinds of things. But then they would put in, and you got to understand, like for men, you might use, you know, 8 to 12 pellets. So they would put in one branded pellet and then they would put in, you know, 9 generic pellets that they got from the compounding pharmacy in Mexico or something. I don't know, but not the branded pellet. So what I saw was patients coming in and they've got these levels that are off the charts and then they didn't last very long. Well, that pellet broke up. It crushed or, you know, disintegrated. It wasn't made to that high standard, that high quality under really high pressure that the pharmacies that specialize in this are able to manufacture. So they got messed up results. They got jacked up results. So the quality of that pellet is essential. The second piece is the dosing of this pellet. So you got, I mean, everybody's a little bit different. Everybody needs a little bit different hormone levels. One of the benefits to using hormone pellets is the consistent levels that are released. When we give testosterone as an injection, testosterone cypionate, that is, number one, not a bioidentical hormone, even though I've been using testosterone cypionate for years. I've actually used it myself. One for testosterone replacement therapy. I don't generally see problems, but it is not bioidentical testosterone. The hormone pellets, the testosterone in the pellets, is bioidentical. Testosterone cypionate is time released. It is broken down fairly consistently, and the half-life is about 8 days. So it's broken down consistently over, you know, a few weeks. The hormone pellets are released based on your need. So, you know, if you've got guys that work out, you know, hard, you may say you need a level 10 of testosterone and we give you testosterone cypionate and that delivers a level 8. Well, you still have a little bit of a deficiency there. The hormone pellets, if you need a 10, they're going to deliver a 10. So the absorption is based on cardiac output. So how much blood your heart's pumping. Harder you work out, the more you need, the more it's going to give you. At the same time, it may not last as long because there's only, you know, so much in the bank, so to speak.
Sure.
So those are some of the benefits to the pellets, but that's why I think that these patients had such a problem with pellets, with the quality of the pellet and the dosing. So you want customized dosing specifically for you. You don't want Billy Bob's dose, you want Marshall's dose. So how much do you need? Let's give you that amount.
Cool. Let's take a quick break real quick, and we will be back with more on hormone pellets.
Vertical Limit Fitness constantly strives for better mind, function, fitness, capacity, and community. They accomplish this through bodyweight bootcamp style classes and high intensity functional fitness classes. From group classes to private training, Vertical Limit Fitness elevates your health and wellness while helping you become able to do anything and prepare you for everything that life may bring along. Call 918-409-1633 or visit their website at www.verticallimitfitness.com for more information and to sign up for a week of classes.
Okay, we are back with Dr. Chad Edwards, and we are talking about hormone pellets. And Dr. Edwards, I got something special for us.
I like special.
Okay, so this topic is actually from one of our listeners who wanted to know about it. And so we actually put out on the website an opportunity for people to ask questions about the topic.
Yeah.
Okay, and so I'm going to read some of these questions for us, and maybe you can dive in and answer them for all the other listeners.
Let's do it.
Okay, so the first question is, and you briefly touched on this, but how often do you have to get hormone pellets? You mentioned that your body uses it as needed.
Yeah.
But how often is that?
Yeah, so it's going to vary, but there's a little bit of a range. So for women, most women are going to need pellets between 3 and 4 months. So what we do is we put the pellets in. We're going to check your levels in about 6 weeks. If you're not doing well, we may check it a little bit sooner because we want to get you a boost and get you where you should be. If you're doing well, then most of the time between 3 and 4 months, women start to know, oh, I'm starting to drop off a little bit. I need to go get repelleted. So 3 to 4 months is how I would say for a woman. For men, I would say between 4 and 5 months. Some people would say up to 6. I think that's a little bit long. 4 to 5 months is generally what we see. But again, it depends on, for men and women, how much are you working out? How are you metabolizing those hormones and chewing them up? How much do you really need?
Okay. So
short answer, 3 to 4 months for women, 4 to 5 months for men.
Is being repelleted a clinical term or is...
Sure, I'm a doctor and I just said it.
I'm
so
just giving you
that must make it right.
So one of our listeners also had asked, they're thinking about getting testosterone replacement in the form of pellets.
Yeah.
Should I be concerned about prostate cancer going up with my testosterone replacement?
Yeah, that is a great question. And my short answer is listen to episode 36 of the podcast.
Okay.
Because we spent a whole podcast going over that. The short answer, or the slightly expanded answer, is there is no association between testosterone and prostate cancer as far as testosterone replacement and prostate cancer. Go into all the details in episode 36.
Okay, cool. The next one is another testosterone replacement question.
Yeah.
Are my testicles going to shrink with these hormone pellets?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the short answer is yes.
Okay.
They are. Basically, your testicles are stimulated to produce testosterone. When we give you testosterone, the testicles don't have to do it. So you're going to see about a 15% shrinkage in the size of your testicles. And sometimes we can get, we can help a lot of that with using an additional hormone called HCG. And we use that as an injection, usually a couple times a week. And we often see that come right back. And then it might, you know, if we stay on hormone replacement and on testosterone, we'll see them go back down. So we just kind of fill them back up, so to speak. You could take a hormone holiday. I don't necessarily recommend that, but let your body kind of re-stimulate the production.
Okay. The next question being is, in terms of the actual hormone replacement itself, why pellets versus a cream? Okay.
Yeah.
So what are the advantages or the pros and cons between the two?
Yeah. So the first thing is that creams have a really variable absorption through the skin. For years, I've recommended that women will actually use a mucosal application. So they apply it to the labia and the outer vaginal area, so just inside the vagina. Some women don't like doing that, so they use it on their skin. It's a little more convenient. But again, it gets back to that variable absorption rate. The second reason is because most of the time you need to use those creams twice a day in order to maintain consistent results. I've often dosed them at once a day. Part of that is for compliance. The second thing is cost. But just trying to get those optimal levels, and a lot of women do pretty well on once a day, but to get optimal, we probably need to do twice a day. And so who wants to use a cream twice a day? And when you use a cream, you have to, you know, like wash your hands. You can't let anything come into contact with the skin. So if you're using it on your inner forearms, then you can have what's called transference, where you actually transfer the hormones to someone else. So, and then you have the mess and all that stuff. Plus, you're having to go to the pharmacy and get refills. We've got to call them in. The pharmacy loses the refill. They say they didn't get it. And then you're without your hormones. And so you go into this menopause, and really nobody likes that at all, because you just kind of become a bear. And then you call and yell at our clinic. And, you know, it's just, we don't like doing that. So with the pellets, you get them and you forget about it for 3 to 4 months.
That sounds almost like a no-brainer.
I would agree with that. It's much more convenient. The procedure is very easy. It's extremely well tolerated. We get excellent levels and excellent results with this, male and female. And then with men, you know, you don't have to worry about the injections. You don't have to worry about refills, all of those kinds of things. You get your pellets, you forget about it for 4 to 5 months.
What am I missing here about hormone pellets, and kind of like some closing thoughts here with all this?
So the pellets are going to be a little bit more expensive than most of the other forms of therapy, but the added benefit is a very physiologic, we want to replicate nature, so a very physiologic release mechanism that gives you the hormones that you should have when you should have them for a consistent period of time at a very reasonable cost, and patients feel amazing when they get them done.
Boom. I love hormone pellets. Just, I told you I was excited about it, and I feel so much more educated now.
Our patients are really, once we made that switch, our patients are really, really excited about it.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Edwards. I appreciate you sharing with us today.
Man, have a great day, and happy pellets.
Happy pellets.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast with Dr. Chad Edwards. Tune in next week, where we'll be going against the grain.